Frank said the title of my sermonette is Red Tape. Recently, I do a lot of reading, and I like reading about history. And one of the things that I had read was in relation to the Civil War and following the conclusion of the Civil War, as the men were returning back and they were eligible for a pension. I'm sure it was a very small pension at the time, but in order to get it, they actually had to report to Washington, D.C. and kind of sign in. And so as they were doing that, the clerks, and I'm sure everything was quite chaotic, but they were seeking these files of these men that to be found to able to calculate their pension and that sort of thing, given the number of years of service. And the files were bound with red tape. And so that kind of became the standard, maybe not joke, but the standard comment relative to bureaucracy at the time was, you know, can they cut the red tape so I can get my pension? Now, most of us can recall our own experiences with bureaucracy of some kind or another. And to be clear, I'm really not talking about the standard elements of government control that are common in our lives. You know, there are speed limits that we're all aware of, and they're not suggestions. They're really calculated to determine what would be safe on a particular road to protect life and property. Though at times I know, and I know this from experience, that for political reasons, there are enforcement actions that are designed to impose harsh fines and penalties for a period of time for revenue. And that's, you know, never popular, but it has happened. In some parts of the world, government control or red tape amounts to little more than a way to create unnecessary positions and unnecessary payments to some. In years past, it was recorded, for example, in Mexico, that a person attempting to just get their house painted, you know, new colors and that sort of thing, or the same colors, was required to meet a dozen or more times with several multiple government agencies over months and months and months just to get approval to get their house painted, to get a permit to get their house painted. So, you know, I think that's a good example of red tape, if you will, or unnecessary bureaucracy. And it's generally believed that the term red tape, although the Civil War example is a great and compelling one, but that the term actually originated in the 16th century with the Spanish administration of King Charles V, who started to use red tape in an effort to modernize his administration and streamline how he was running his vast empire. The red tape was once again used to bind the most important administrative dossiers that required immediate discussion by the Council of State, and separate those from the files that, you know, were maybe less important, less ordinary, or more ordinary, which would be have been bound with ordinary string. Now, in Britain, even Charles Dickens, the famous author, spoke of red tape in David Copperfield. And he said, Britannia, referring to it as a human, is always bound before me like a trussed fowl, skewered through and through with office pens, and bound hand and foot with red tape. The English practice of binding documents and official papers with red tape was popularized in the 19th century writings of Scottish essayist and philosopher Thomas Carlyle. So it's been around for a while. And while we follow applicable ordinances such as traffic laws and that sort of thing, we know that there are regulations that can cause us to stumble in our obedience of God. And we must attempt always to find our way around that, obviously being lawful, but never compromising our belief and our obedience to God. A good example of this is, and we know this in our church, is dealing with a summons to jury duty that many of us have received. It might be easy to fall into a trap here with our response, and antagonizing the court is not necessary. We can remain within the law by responding and yet obey God, which is our overarching responsibility, by exercising our right to either a religious exemption or some appropriate pathway. And when in doubt, always check with the ministry, because it's vital that we stay in our obedience with God above all. Now, consider the situation that Jesus was in when both the Pharisees and the followers of Herod tried to catch him in a trap. Now, in Matthew 22, we read, just as Jesus had returned to Jerusalem for the final time and had recently finished sharing several parables with the crowd, Jesus' enemies saw an opportunity to put Jesus on the spot in front of his followers. And in verse 17, we read, so this is Matthew 22, verse 17. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Now, clearly it was a trick question, and they knew it. If Jesus answered no, the followers of Herod would charge him with treason against Rome. If he said yes, the Pharisees would have accused him of his disloyalty to the Jewish nation, and he would lose the support of the crowds. To pay taxes or not to pay taxes? The question was designed as a catch-22, and we know that. We can see that. In Matthew 22, we see Jesus beginning to formulate his response. He understood that their intentions were evil, and his response was, and again, this is Matthew 22, verse 18, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" And then continuing in verse 19, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. And then they said to him, then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Now, going back in time a bit, in Ecclesiastes 5 and verses 8 and 9, we read the following. Again, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 8 and 9. "If you see the poor oppressed in a district, and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both other still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields." And that was from the NIV translation, but if you look at the New Living Translation, it actually uses the term red tape in characterizing the relationship of the officials at several levels seeking to profit from the people under their authority. The term has become somewhat synonymous with waste and government or bureaucratic excesses. Now, to be fair, red tape excesses can extend to the private sector as well. I recall when I was working here in Fort Collins, the head of a local, major international tech giant sharing with me that he felt that his company was far more bureaucratic than our local Fort Collins city government in many ways, in terms of internal policies and practices and having things approved at various levels. And so we see that in our lives very clearly. Now, turning to Hebrews 13 and verses 20 and 21, we see the following, and we need to consider this. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God has given those he calls the tools to do what he needs from all of us, what he asks of all of us. Recently, I recall one of our ministers referred to Noah and his admirable faith in the Father and his acceptance of God's commands that he build the ark. Noah believed that he could accomplish what God had required of him, and he had no doubt in it. However, recently I read a very interesting satirical bit that cast Noah no longer immediately doing as God commanded, wanting to, but first seeking the permits, the permissions, and the underlying environmental impact statements that would have been required to build the ark in, in say modern day. And of course, he ran into every obstacle that you can imagine, found an endangered species that had to be considered. He wasn't in a shoreline zone, but soon would be. So that had to be taken into account. And again, Noah had the pure faith to believe what God had asked of him to do. And it wasn't tied up in all of these rules. And ridiculous as it is to consider such a situation, complying with the rules and regulations of our community, our state, our country, is something that we all do to a degree. Each and every day, we interact with local governments. We mention the speed laws. We pay taxes locally and to the federal government. Just in the last few evenings at home, we've been talking about zoning laws in our own little neighborhood and what you could build. One of my sons was asking, could we build this type of building? Or can we not have a building on this land? Would the city allow that? So it's been very interesting to talk about how much control there is, even when it comes to our own little house that we live in and the property and the lawns we mow and that sort of thing. But, obviously there's some guidance there for our benefit as well, but never to the extent that we compromise our obedience to what God requires of us. And cutting back to the situation of Jesus with the Pharisees and the followers of Herod, as they left him and walked away, realizing that his answer was perfect, we realized that Jesus had cut through the red tape as no one else possibly could with his simple obedience to the Father and his love for the Father. So clearly, he set the example for all of us.